Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And good day to all of you out there. Great to have you with us. A little politics with your coffee. Do we need more gun laws? Do we need to ban so-called weapons of war? You know, it's been not a very good weekend, obviously with two mass shootings and the incredible difficulty and pain that that's produced for this nation, but more importantly, for a lot of the families that were affected by all of that. The New York Post is now calling for a ban on weapons of war. So what is a ban? I mean, what is a weapon of war? Governor Kate Brown announces her vetoes. It isn't as bad as we thought. Could that have been because, you know, she made that statement about revenge? You know, we talked about that, right? Revenge is a dish best served coldly and slowly. Just the image of that and the fact that several editorial boards took her to task for that. Do you think that might have changed her mind to not, because none of this is really exacting revenge, what she is doing here. Do you think she got stung a little bit? Do you think that there was a little worry about the Democrat Party in this state, which is already in trouble just because of the things that they've done, like forced vaccinations, timber unity, and all of that? The cap and trade scam, that they kind of know they're skating on a little bit of thin ice, especially in some districts in the Senate. So, Kate Brown, maybe she has backed off a little bit. You think that might have been what happened? Now, I'll talk a little bit about that because it relates to another story that was there on Saturday about Kate Brown, who can't run for re-election, is still raising campaign money, and she's spending it. And she's spending it on something that might have an impact on her vetoes. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about the Oregon Bus Project. If you don't know about the Bus Project, this project probably has been responsible for making Oregon a bit bluer than it would have normally have done. And sadly, there are some great Oregon businesses that have given money into this nonprofit. And this nonprofit has engaged in what can only be described as campaign activity. And they've gotten away with it. You know why they've gotten away with it? Yeah, I mean, we're talking about prohibited campaign activity. And that's literally organizing high school students, I'm not kidding you, for class credit to go out and distribute material for a candidate. You can't do that. That's prohibited activity. They did it. They were caught at it, and they got away with it. Nobody held them accountable. This was done during the Obama administration. It was certainly done during Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum's time as our Oregon Attorney General. Now, the fix is in, of course. You know, that kind of thing is never going to get prosecuted in Oregon. Not with that bunch in charge. But don't you find it interesting that there are two systems of justice in Oregon? There are two systems of justice, sadly, in America. The one thing that we cannot allow is these people who have perpetrated these mass shootings to go unpunished. Now they will be. The question is, at what level? Now everybody's decrying the death penalty. We can't do the death penalty anymore. We can't do it in Oregon. You know, Governor Kate Brown, of course, signed that that bill that basically you have to be a terrorist like these two guys and kill a bunch of people before you can get the death penalty in Oregon. And I just think that's wrong. I think the voters, again, spoke on this issue very loudly. And you know, Kate does, you know, she just doesn't care. I was going to say something else, but I'm glad I didn't. This is Political Coffee. It's great to have you with us, friends. We begin a new week. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Do we need more gun laws now? And that specifically, do we need to ban, quote-unquote, weapons of war? Did the assault weapons ban back in the 90s, did it work? No, it didn't. It didn't change anything, which is why Congress never renewed it. That's funny. If it had worked, wouldn't they have done that? Now, of course, the left blames it all on the NRA. And once again, they miss what's going on here entirely. But when you get the president talking about it, talking about, well, we need to do something. Okay, what does that mean? What is that something? Is it new gun laws? Would that change this? Would that have stopped the guy with the manifesto? Would it have stopped him from going after, I mean, driving 600 miles down to El Paso and shooting a bunch of people in a Walmart? Well, these red flag laws, the red flag law that we have here in Oregon that Brian Boquist brought forward, would that have stopped this guy in Texas? I mean, I don't see any. I read his manifesto, friends. And as I was reading his manifesto, it's obvious that he's a climate change nut. He says very clearly that Republicans and Democrats are to blame for changing America. And that we shouldn't blame it. And he said very clearly, I mean, this guy expected, the guy in El Paso expected that he was going to be killed. Okay. And he expected that Donald Trump was going to get blamed for this. And he says that in his manifesto. But as you read through his manifesto, what the press is now, even Fox News, is characterizing as being racist, is elements of it are things that we have talked about. Because they're not race. It isn't racist to think that America is being changed because our borders are open and that our culture is being changed. And that's what this guy wrote about. Now, his answer to it is the wrong answer. That is bringing a gun. I mean, he considered himself, and it was narcissistic and it was arrogant. There's no question about it. By the way, he used an AK-47-like gun. It wasn't an actual AK-47. It was one that looked like it. It was basically an AR-15 as an AK. And he basically thought that as he ended his manifesto, and as I read it, he basically said that he was going to be the beginning of a new movement. What? I mean, that's how arrogant and out of touch with reality this guy was. So let me throw this out to you. Would any law have stopped this guy? Both of these guys apparently bought these weapons legally and had nothing in their backgrounds other than maybe the Ohio shooter. There's a story about him today that he kept a hit list and a rape list when he was in high school. Now, that was a few years ago. In fact, he got suspended for it. I mean, he's 24 years old now. So he was in high school when he was 17. He got suspended for this. Apparently, this is an AP story that I'm reading. You can see it on a Drudge Report. He kept a hit list and a rape list back then. In fact, it became well known, even though his name was not released as a student who was suspended. It was well known that he was the guy. And that for a short period of time, a whole bunch of kids skipped school. And that they kept this guy away from school for a while. So, under Oregon's red flag law, that wouldn't have been enough. not as I have read it and understood it. It wouldn't have been enough just because you, as a, I mean, think about it. Think about the intersection of this and with what we've just done with Senate Bill 1008 in Oregon, where we basically make excuses for the Kip Kinkles of the world and say, you didn't know what you were doing because you were under the age of 18. So we're going to cut you a whole bunch of slack. And yeah, you may have killed somebody's kid or a whole bunch of kids, but you know, that, you know, you're going to get out of jail early. So much for Measure 11. Now think about that. And then the intersection of that with this idea, this call for more laws, because this kid, as a 17-year-old, had a hit list and a rape list. I mean, it's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? On one hand, to say, well, you know, you didn't know what you were doing because your brain is not fully developed. Isn't that what the testimony? It's exactly what the testimony was brought forward by the so-called experts, on Senate Bill 1008. That's what they said. Your brain isn't fully developed, so we need to cut you a break. But yet, your brain is fully developed, because if you have a hit list and a rape list under the red flag law, we should take away and remove your ability to own a gun. Are we missing something here? Maybe we're missing a couple of things. Instead of that inconsistency, instead of more gun laws, like banning so-called weapons of war. And what is a weapon of war? Instead of doing that, are we missing a couple of other things? Like, were either of these guys on mind-altering drugs prescribed to them, like almost every mass shooter has been over the years? Well documented by a number of websites that just articulate news stories where apparently these people were on mind-altering drugs. Is that what we're missing here? Now, we don't know so far about either one of these shooters over the weekend, whether they were on mind-altering drugs. Is that a question that's worthy of asking? Secondly, what about violent video games? Now, I think this is something that is completely being ignored beyond maybe what we ought to think about. There was some talk about it over the weekend as these stories were developing here. Now, neither of these people, now the Ohio shooter, of course, was killed immediately by the cops. Good for them. The El Paso shooter did his dirty deed and got back in his car and drove away and was stopped and gave up when he said he wouldn't. So he cowardly gave up. There's nothing yet that describes either one of these people being engaged in violent video games. But do you think in our culture that this is having an impact? It's unrealistic. It's not real. And all of a sudden, they think they can go get me. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Lots to think about here and unpack. We'll get into all of it more and your phone calls when we come back. 620.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week. Unfortunately, not with good news. This whole business of two mass shootings over the weekend is, well, it's reignited, of course. And the debate about gun control. Now, can anybody explain to me if one of you out there have a novel theory about how a new law would have stopped either one of these shooters? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear how one of you think that Oregon's red flag law, had it been in place in either one of these circumstances, either in Texas or Ohio, how that would have stopped these shooters. And are there other influences here that are really being, well, kept quiet? Like, again, were either one of these shooters on mind-altering drugs? Like, almost every, like, there are news stories, again, about almost every single mass shooter that there has been, including our buddy Kip Kinkle. So, what about the choice that parents allow where people engage when they're adults playing in these violent video game tournaments, violent video games? Now, I watch, in fact, right now I have Fox Business on in my studio here. You know, I watch business you know, stocks and what's going on in the market and the trade war that Trump's engaged in with China. And I watch all that stuff. And one of the things that's interesting about this is that the companies that put forward these violent video games hold these tournaments. And they offer lots of prize money. And people, kids and young adults, who are typically the people that are playing these things, they come and they participate in these. In fact, I just watched a story about that the other day, one of the winners. And I forget which one it was, but it doesn't matter. Now, some of the people that speculated over the weekend that this is part of our changing culture. So if that's true, why would you want to take away my right to own an AR-15, which I can hunt with, but more importantly, it's my right. It doesn't matter whether you think it's a weapon of war or not. I mean, I can do as much damage, maybe not as quickly, but I can put an illegal magazine in a deer rifle, and I can do as much damage or even worse. I can put a drum magazine, and there are some adaptations, in semi-automatic shotguns, and could have done a lot more damage. So what's a weapon of war? Do we need to ban them? 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. What do you think? Do we need to ban certain guns? Would that stop this? Or would somebody just choose to use a handgun, or maybe a bomb, or maybe a couple of machetes? Wasn't there a movie about that? I think there was. Wasn't there? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Would love to get your perspective on this. Would Oregon's red flag law have prevented any of this had it been in place in either one of these states? You know what I find sad about this is not only is that there are, this bolsters the case, the emotion of this, the fact that it happened, bolsters the case for more gun laws that, again, are going to restrict your right to defend yourself, my right to defend myself. Aside from that, it's the human toll here that really bothers me. Friday and Saturday nights, I sang the national anthem at the Harrisburg Tractor Pulls, Harvest Festival, we call it. And on Saturday, obviously the El Paso shooting had happened. And, you know, I just ask everyone to keep these families in people's prayers. Because these families now are forever altered. Not just the people who lost family members, who were killed in both of these shootings, but those who were wounded. Their lives, not just their physical lives, but the mental lives of these people are forever altered. It's an awful, horrible thing to endure. So how do we deal with that? Do people, or are people over time going to get to the place where they're willing, like the New York Post now. This headline, I'm looking at it on Drudge. And it's ban weapons of war. And they show the AR-15. President Trump. It reads, America is scared and we need bold action. It's time to ban weapons of war. So what happens after you ban them and nothing changes? Just like it did when they so-called banned the weapons of war, the assault weapons ban back in the 90s, which was in place for 10 years and didn't do a darn thing. Didn't change anything. If someone is intent on doing physical harm to others because their brain is warped, maybe we ought to ask why their brain is warped. And then I ask you to think back to the time of the Revolutionary War. Yeah, we didn't have drugs to warp your brain. We didn't have violent video games. We didn't have social media. The Patriots produced the great nation that we live in through a revolution. And they did it because they had weapons of war equal to what the British had. Where would America be today? Would we still be would we have ever achieved our independence? Probably not, because we wouldn't have had guns. If all the guns had been taken away, we would have never been able to have had a Revolutionary War and be the great nation that we are. What do you think? All of this is interesting to talk about. I'd love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. The number to call. Emails to Jeff at 1220.im at 6:30. I'll be back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have you with us as we begin a new week here on Political Coffee, talking politics over a cup of coffee about the things that are going to impact your life, and that's why we need to talk about them. Because you have the ability to persuade others. So I'm asking this question. But by the way, if you're just joining us, here's what we're talking about. Do we need to ban weapons of war after the bloody weekend of two mass shootings? Do we? Is that going to make any difference? Oregon's red flag law, would it have made any difference with either one of these two people? Are there other things in play here that aren't being considered? And how about the politicians who, within minutes of the El Paso shooting, were calling for more gun laws? Good grief. And Kate Brown. Kate Brown's going to veto some stuff. It isn't as bad as we thought. Now, why would that be? And why is it that Kate Brown is, well, this other story was on Saturday. You can see it on OregonWatchdog.com. Kate Brown continues to raise money and spend it. And she's spending it in one particular area that might have had some impact on the quote-unquote revenge. Remember we talked about that? Because this list she put out isn't a whole lot of revenge there, actually. Yeah, it might be a little. Might be a little against one of her Democrat senators. Ooh, that hurts. We'll get into all of that today as we go through the second half of the show here. 503-589-1220. I'll get to the phones in a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Lee wrote me an email. Said, we don't need more gun laws. We need people to be engaging with others. Social media and smartphones, video games have removed the social interaction between us. If we actually interacted with others, we maybe could identify the deranged thinking people, but then we would have to do something about it. The problem is not the gun, but the person's lack of respect and deranged thinking. Could we address that problem? That's what Lee thinks. What do you think? Again, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. This segment of the show is brought to you by Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. If you have not tried CBD oil products, you should. Because they work. They work for me. They work for a lot of people. And I personally think it's better than drugs for a lot of reasons. So go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They're in South Salem. South Commercial, right next to Safeway. Can't miss it. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Let's go to the phones. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
Hi, Jeff. Good Monday morning. Only it is definitely a sad morning. A couple of things. The red flag laws. Well, we're going to kind of see if it does help, because they did pass one in Florida. And we'll now see if there's more mass shootings in Florida, which there have been quite a few. You know, some mentally deranged people, especially that kid that shot up the school. Right. And so the jury is most definitely out on that. Culture-wise, this lunatic in Ohio, he was a Satanist, Jeff. Evil. And where did that come from on him? How did he become a Satanist? Was it because of the internet, influence of family, or whatever? The simple fact of the matter is that his mental health was most definitely in a bad place. He even shot his own sister and killed her. What's with that? But we do need to focus on mental health and bringing God back into our country, because a lot of people have left God, and a lot of these people who are doing this stuff are those kind of people who don't have a deep faith in God and stuff, and therefore it's very easy for them to commit these heinous crimes. And the simple fact of the matter is, if those people wanted guns, they were going to get guns. But we can't disarm the American public from defending themselves. You and I both know that. Otherwise, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, because there's going to be a lot more people killed because they don't have guns to defend themselves.
That's exactly right. That's 100% correct. You know, here's something. Now, I wanted to ask you, though. I haven't read anything yet about the Ohio shooter being a Satanist. Where did you come up with that?
No, he had he followed stuff on the internet. He was definitely a Satanist. I mean, it's on the news, Jeff. And if you dig into it a little more, this guy was a cultist. He was a Satanist. And, of course, when you're a Satanist, you don't value life. And like I said, he even killed his own sister.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the saddest things here, Art. He came, he rode with his sister, her and a guy that was his friend. They all rode together in the same car downtown into what's called the Oregon District. They separated. The sister and the other guy went off in their own direction. And then he pulls the gun out, apparently out of the trunk. Yeah, I guess he had a shotgun there also, which he didn't take with him. But he puts his body armor on and his mask, and he starts shooting people. Nobody knows if he intended to kill his sister or you know, why all of this was going on. But Art, can you imagine the heartache in the family, the parents now?
Oh, my God. I mean, all the people who have suffered, Jeff, and the simple fact, is, as far as I'm concerned, is we do not put enough emphasis on helping people with their mental health is, you know, in a bad place. We consistently, now here in Oregon especially, we release people who have mental problems, whether it's a lack of something in their brain or whatever, and we release them into society and stuff like this happens instead of treating the problem, which is their mental health. And God is part of mental health. You and I both know that.
Absolutely. Art, thanks, friend. I appreciate you calling today. That's what Art thinks. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Would love to get your perspective on this. Do we need to ban assault weapons? Weapons of war? What is a weapon of war? Can't you really kind of turn just about any weapon into a weapon of war? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Here's what's ironic about this. Over the weekend, you've got these two mass shootings. The big winner in the movies this weekend is a movie called Hobbs and Shaw. Big guns and fast cars. It grossed $60 million. So Hollywood glorifies guns, violence, constantly, right? And yet those are some of the first people to call for you losing your right to defend yourself against bad people. How ironic, how interesting. Back to the phones, 503-589-1220. Rich, good morning. What do you think?
Morning. Well, I think you hit on something that everybody seems to get away from, and that's the psychotropic drugs that are handed out like candy. And years ago in the military, if you put down that you've been on Ritalin or Prozac, they just turn your paperwork back to you and say, we can't use you.
Well, okay.
And that's a mind-altering drug. And they had some very stringent and strange problems with it when they first came out with it, when they tested it on people. And one of the things they mentioned was that they can't watch certain shows, movies, or hear anything under those conditions. And that's the big problem I see with a lot of this, and you brought it up, all these kids on Ritalin or Prozac. It's a mind re-imprinting and altering drug, and we got to quit drugging our society, and rather than drug them, find out what the problem is.
How true. You remember that song from the 60s? Where you just take a pill and everything is better. I mean, it's just, we're at that place. So marry that, Rich. What you just talked about, mind-altering drugs with violent video games. Wow.
Well, they don't even have to be violent video games. Some of these kids did these shootings before the video games were really out, so it's not necessarily the games as much as some of the stuff they're watching, and you can blame Hollywood if you want for part and parcel of that.
Well, they glorify it, and then they call for the banning of everything that they're glorifying, and we talk about hypocritical.
And they make money on the movies, and the people making the movies are the ones that say ban the guns, but yet that's where they get their money.
Yeah, hypocrisy to be sure, and more importantly, damaging. Rich, thanks so much. It's 6:48. What do you think about all of this? When we come back, Kate Brown's vetoes and more of your thoughts.
Come on and sing my song all night long.
Stop the car, we gotta move.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. What do you think about all of this? 503-589-1220. Should we ban so-called guns that are considered to be, by some at least, weapons of war? Would that have made any difference? Would another law have stopped either one of these circumstances? What do you think? Would Oregon's red flag law have stopped either one of these shooters? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails, of course, to Jeff at 1220.am. I've got a great email I'm going to read from one of our listeners, Sabrina, in a moment. I want to remind you that this segment of the show is brought to you by a great American patriot, my friend Fred Thompson. He is a New York life agent. He does good things for people. He helps people live better retirements, and he helps people prepare for the worst in case it happens, taking care of your family with life insurance. You know, you ought to do business with people that share your values, and he does. He's a great conservative. 503-428-7479. That's Fred's number. You know, if you have the need or you're just kind of thinking about it, why don't you just call him and talk to him? He can come to your place, sit down with you, or he can come to his office, either way. 503-428-7479. Let's, okay, darn it, Cynthia, call back when you get a moment. The email from Sabrina says, I grew up in the era of gaming. 80s through 90s were epic. I'd come home to my mom playing my Zelda game. Soon after, they bought us three girls, yes, three girls, our own video game system, a Sega Genesis. It was the most amazing thing I can remember from my childhood. Why was that so amazing? We had best friends who lived next door, three boys who had all the cool games, toys, you name it, they had it. Alongside the Sega Genesis was something we thought out our parents would never give us, Mortal Kombat. We were floored. It was graphic, violent, and gory, and everything we wanted as kids. We grew up in an era of don't show the kids that, they might get upset. So when we did get a taste of what life offered, we felt disenchanted, almost lied to. This brought us to a piece of that gritty life, albeit something we had kept a secret from mom and dad because we feared she'd remove mom said game from our arsenal of gaming post haste. We kept a secret for years, battling in gory victory, and it allowed us a chance to take pent up weird rage at friends that maybe we just had a fight with, or a virtual fight, settle things faster than actually fighting, I suppose. It was our conflict response and resolution. Of course, mom found out about our game and was mad, but we were raised to know the difference. A game is a game, and real life is real life. You don't do things from video games in real life. Now, in regards to violent video games, I've heard that they do help those of our veterans who have returned to the States from Afghanistan or other places of war, operating actual tools of war, who suffer from PTSD, but they are on my par of respect for fellow man, not these kids on psychotropic drugs. They can't rationalize the difference between life and a game, and I think they believe they're playing a game still when they go out and they do these violent acts. Rather than enact gun laws, what about capping the pharmaceutical companies and what they can put a poor child on? That's where the real problem lies. Pharmaceutical companies that prey on the weakest of our society, our children, and our future. That's just my take on it. Thanks, Sabrina. I mean, I get what you're saying there. Paul writes an email. Because of the great human tragedy and loss of these horrific events and many others, it is apparent that legislative and other changes are coming. The emotion associated with these tragedies is heart-wrenching, and the rhetoric too powerful to deny that changes are coming. But what changes are needed? Background checks, banning weapons, mental health efforts, increased security? But who will manage these changes? And what will be the desired outcome and motivation for doing so? Will any changes that are coming effectively end or reduce these tragedies? How can legislation change the sin-driven human heart? Amen to that. In fact, I did find a story over the break about the Ohio shooter, and this references what I ask Art. Apparently, he had a Twitter account, and they show screenshots of it before Twitter took it down. He was a self-described leftist. He liked Elizabeth Warren. He said he would happily vote for her. And he praised Satan. He was upset about Trump being elected, 2016 presidential election results, and added, "I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come round to the understanding." There's a Breitbart story about that, rather. You can read it for yourself. So, okay, they're blaming Trump for all of this. Maybe they ought to start blaming Elizabeth Warren, since the Ohio shooter who killed his sister apparently liked her. So what do you think? Let's go to Cynthia, who's on the line. Cynthia, good morning. Good to have you back. What's
good
your
morning.
Opinion today?
I called you about my vet who I said he committed suicide, but I don't know. It was an overdose. But we used to play video games, and my ex and I played video games, and we were always after the bad guys. I don't think it's about the video games. I think it's about the values. And I just have to say, my little nephew, he's in fifth grade, and I live in this little town in Oregon now, and he was raised in Washington, and now he's in Oregon, and there's a gun swap shop, and we're at a hamburger place, and he says, "What do you think, Cynthia? I don't think America would like that." And that's what they're teaching, and I had to try and tell him, no, it takes the responsible people to have the guns. And my sister doesn't really like guns. And I think people need to have them if they're protecting people. And I had to try to explain to him, and I felt bad, that I'm trying to tell him, no, it's good if you're standing up for what's right. Because he actually said, "I don't think Americans would like that, that there's a gun store."
And how old is he?
He's in fifth grade.
Mm. So,
and he was raised in Washington, and now he's in Oregon.
Now he's in Oregon.
And so, he's part Native American, and he's adopted, and he's a... there's so much crazy stuff that I should write a book. I've decided I should write a book.
Well, Cynthia, thank you for calling, and I appreciate your perspective on this today. And keep listening.
Really,
it's good to hear your voice again.
Little fifth grader saying, I don't think America would like it that you can. I'm like, no, it's the Second Amendment. That's why it's kind of special, but we have to be very careful.
Thanks, Cynthia. We're at the end of the show. I appreciate you calling. Thanks to all of you for listening today. Look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow. This isn't going to go away. There'll be more for sure. Talk to you then. Yeah.